On page Chav Gimel, my mani lo doidi v'doidi li v'im gam b'zois lo yisayir bar midas rachmanis hanal. So all of us are worried that the Rebbe is not talking about us. He's talking about big bali madregas, and he keeps on reaching down to Jews who are even lower and lower and lower until finally he says v'im gam b'zois lo yisayir. If this hasn't worked for you until now, v'im gam b'zois, of course it would, but we don't try these things. We learn about them. We need to try them. We need to work at these things l'maisa. The Rebbe was talking, of course, about the midah of Yaakov Avinu, which is what we're learning about now. What we're living through these parashiyos, the midah of Yaakov, who's mavriach min hakotzei el hakotzei, the midah of rachmanis of Hashem that reaches down mamish, rachmin reaches down to the lowest person that's furthest away. That a person is able to daven to Hashem, Barachamecha Harabim, Rachem Aleinu, Barachamecha Harabim, Rabbanu Shalom, help me. I don't feel even the pain of my averus. I don't feel the pain of my distance from you. I don't feel bechlal, the golus of that part of me that is you. I don't feel it at all. Rachmeinu. This is Rachamecha Harabim, Rachem Aleinu. That Hashem is Baruch's Rachmim is so great that he has rachmanis even on a person who's furthest away, because the midah of Yaakov, which is rachman, extends from one end of reality to the other, as we were talking about barichas at length last week. So v'im gam b'zois leisar b'midas rachmanis anal pech chav gimel on top, and what if, and also this doesn't work, and even though you've davened that you should feel the pain of the distance and you should want to come back to Hashem Yisborach, and that you should want to go and meet the king even in that place in the field, out in the field far away from the city, but you want Sof Kol Sof to connect to the midah of Aleph Lamed, of Chesed, of the infinite kindness and loving kindness of Hashem and so on, but you don't feel anything. Then this is the advice for such a person who can't even awaken within himself the midah of rachmanis. He doesn't feel any rachmanis on himself. He doesn't feel rachmanis on the spark of Hashem Yisbarach that's in Golus inside of him. And he doesn't even have a cheshik to daven for it. V'im gam nezois leisayir b'midas rachmanis anal in ezois ha'etza yu'utza d'inexiv haroya b'sheshanim. The end of the pasuk. Ani lo doidi v'doidi li Haro Eba Shoshanim. The one who is taking the sheep to graze, to eat, Bashoshanim, among the roses. The Indian of a Roa doesn't only, the real definition of Roa on the deepest level is not just that it's not a shepherd. The roa means the person who's mefarnes, who takes care of, who feeds, who provides for. That's what a roa is. That's what we find even with human beings. Mizlo David Hashem roi lo echsar. Obviously, David Amel is not talking about being taken out to pasture. So it says Hashem roi lo echsar. The Baruch Shalom is mefarnes me. He takes care of me. He's mechazik me. He gives me what I need. That's what it means, roa. So the end of the pasuk is haroa b'shoshanim. That Hashem provides for me Bashoshanim among the roses. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, I was talking a lot during the month of Elul. I was talking a lot about the union of Shoshanim and Rebbe Shoshanim, Mislichus, and other times. Upirish b'Zayir. The Zayir Kodesh says about the Shoshanah, the rose. The rose is Hashem's favorite flower on earth. You can get all the other kinds of flowers, they're nice, but the rose is Hashem's Baruch's favorite. The Zohar says, what's the Shoshana? Ma Shoshana is hapach mi goyven sumik le goyven chaver al yidei isha osha, that the rose changes colors from red to white because of the heat of the sun, the fire, the heat, it changes colors. Kach hinek sif. And that's why the word, the name, the rose is Shoshana, because it comes from the word Shoshona. It's able to change. Right? Years ago I spoke about that in connection to Purim, which took place in Shushan Habira, and the connection between the Shoshana and Esther Malka. The nature of the Shoshana is that it's able to change. We spoke about that Yontif time. The softness of the rose, how delicate it is, and its willingness to change. It's from the word lehishtanos, shoshana, changing. Kachinek siv. So it is written. In yuchataichem kashonim kashelig yalbino. Even though your sins are red, are crimson, dark red. Kashelig yalbino. In a moment, they can be white as snow. You see the time you got in? It's nageh to us now. When a Jew sees something, especially this year, it's so early, that we should hear in it good words from Hashem, that Hashem is talking to us about good things. Ki tov yidaber al amo. And Hashem is saying good things to his people all the time. That even if one's sins are dark red, kashelig yalbinu, just like the rose, is able to change from the color of dark red to white. I'm sorry? Shonim, yeah. Is able to change from that, from dark, the redness of Averis, so the Shoshana can change from the red to the white. A Jew has the ability to change in Yuchat Ta'echem Kashanim, Kashelig Yalbin, to be white as snow. Sha'achet Nikra Odoim. Sin is called red. That, of course, is connected to one of the main personalities of our parasha, Esav HaRasha. Haliteni Naman HaAdam HaZeh. Sha'achet Nikra Adam. Sin is called red. V'chein kol ha'maisim ba'diburim v'machshove sh'b'kol inyoni ha'odam nikraim gam kein Adam. And so too, all of man's actions, words, and thoughts of this world are also, in other words, that are not holy, gam kein Adam, are called Adam. L'fi sheheima machshoves ha-yetzah v'sach b'loisav, because they are the representatives of the Yetzahara, of Esav, of the Satan, the one who is red. Yishapech l'goyven chover. It's possible for all of that redness to be transformed, like it says in the Zohar, "Beriga chad," mamish, in a moment, to be transformed to being pure white. Shubchinas keshelig yalbino, which is like this, like it says in Pasuk, like the snow will become white. Now, how does that happen? Al ayidei bechinas eish. They begin as ash, fire. Because it says that the Shoshana changes from red to white by the heat of the sun. It turns its petals towards the sun, and the heat of the sun changes the redness into white. So a Jew has to, there's an inyan that a Jew, through this Bechina of ash, is able to change the redness into white. Vehine yesh eish shelamala ve'esh shelamata. In many of the drushes of the Tanya, he speaks about this. Samchuni ba'ashishais. He has unbelievable drushes in Shir Shirim on this inyan. There's a fire above and there's a fire below. Ve'esh shelamala lekol adam zeichel lezeh. The fire from below, not everybody is worthy of receiving it. Ach eish shalamata, the fire from below, who inyan sigufim v'taniyas, lamay chelba v'damay, shemisitra de klipas naiga. This is the last resort, Rabbi Yisai. Right, the last resort. This is not the lechavchila. This is not the path, as you know, that the Baal Shem Tov preferred, nor did his holy disciples. But the Tanya says there's such a thing as a Jew who, even after screaming and crying out, Rachamecha Harabim Rachem Aleinu, Rabbi Yisrael, awaken with me at Rachmanis. For what? Rachmanis on the elikus inside of me, on you, that I can't feel, that I can't connect to. As a final last thing, the Tanya says, Ahitza Yehutza, is the fire of what? Of Sigufim Vitanias, of tormenting oneself and fasting. Lamait Chelbo Vedamo, to decrease the fat and the blood within himself. Which Chazal say that's what a Tanis accomplishes. Obviously, it's not meant as a way of slenderizing. I was in the bakery a few days before Yom Kippur, and there were two wonderful women from our neighborhood, from the five towns. One was saying, "Oh, I can't believe it, you know, Yom Kippur. Oh no." The other one says, "Oh, but it'll be a perfect start to my diet." That was the conversation online. What a wonderful way to begin. The new me, right? So think about, you know, if you just think for a second about what it's taka, a good way to start, and we all could use some slenderizing, you know, that their ISIS and their abundance to take away this, to try to have a year that should be with less fat, less dam, and less chaylev, less stuffing ourselves with lashon hara and rechilas and narishkeit and tumah and so on. Okay, well, maybe it's a beginning. It's a beginning. So the Atanas lessens, it decreases the fat and the blood. Shemisit to Klipas Noga, that come from that koch, the side that's called the Klipas Noga, which can go this way or that way. We'll talk about that when we read the commentary a little bit, what that means. Even though it's not really for now to go into the Indian Klipas Noga, but things that could potentially be holy, or could, if not taken care of, could fall into very, very deep red. Isn't there such an expression that a person's in the red? Don't they? Isn't that? That's bad, isn't that? The black means when you're making money, the red means when you're losing. Isn't that how it goes? That somebody's in the red. So now we have a new understanding of what that means, to be in the red. Means you could be making $1 million a day, but if God forbid your connection to Hashem Yisbarach is not good, so that you could still be in the red. And then Hashem will illuminate His face to you. So the Rebbe ends this section of the desperate person by coming to the last resort, that sof kol sof Hashem's people are called the Shoshana, and it's connected also to the 13 petals that we spoke about in the beginning, that the Zohar speaks about at the beginning of the Zohar Kodesh, the beginning of the Hakdom of the Zohar Kodesh, that the Jewish people are compared to a 13 petaled rose, and the 13 Midas HaRachamim. So a Jew has the ability that even when he's calling out and screaming for Rachmenu, and Rachem Aleinu Barachamecha Rab Rachem Aleinu, and he doesn't feel that he's able to change, there is such a thing that there's an emergency method that a person can use, which will work even for such an individual, to change the red into white, like the flower that changes from red to white. But here it's necessary to use something temporarily, which the Torah does not recommend as a way of life, which is fasting and self-deprivation, sometimes going away, golus, like we're talking about the Rebbe Elimelech and the Rebbe Bezushia, different things that in the earlier generations, when they were stronger, they were able to engage in more and more effectively, whereas nowadays, it's not, for most people, it's not a mahalach, it's not a way to reach Hashem. But we're talking about an individual who has already tried many other things, and he still feels, and he's not able to get through. So when the Tanya talks about also in Tanya, And he talks about a person who's sometimes stuck in such an encasement that the sins create such unbelievable thick shells, such a case that surrounds the heart. Sometimes the only way to get through to the heart is by shattering it. And there are different ways that the heart can be shattered. God forbid from bad news, chas v'shalom, that a person has to go through, God forbid, bad news, chalila, sickness. Or a person can bring it upon himself through fasting and other means of depriving oneself. We know that by the Bali Musa, there was a very strong Indian Tanis Dibur, right? Certain times of the year, which the Tzaddikim said that we're not holding by most of these things now, and it's not the way that it once was, but even now, there is such an Indian. And this is called the fire that changes the red for white. Let's read the commentary. Not if the person, like many, like we had in yeshiva, these goofy things. So the guy's, and he's just as much of an idiot, just he's not talking like an idiot, but he's like the same idiot. That's not what Tanis Diva was meant to be. So generally, the Talmid Baal Shem Tov didn't go with this. The avoda was to try to refine one's speech. So sometimes you have a person that by holding back for an hour of not speaking, then he'll more than compensate for it with narishkeit afterwards. Just like you have people that they'll fast for half a day, or they make a tanis shol, so tanis, they'll fast, and then they have this what they call pigging out, then the crazy. So that's not what the tzaddikim meant. My mother told me. I remember that once that I told this to you. I only told you the first part of this years ago. That in my house, if I made the mistake to saying that I was starving, so that meant that my father would give that look and I wasn't allowed to eat. It happened twice. And it slipped out. Because I got used to, you hear in school, everybody says to the teacher, I'm starving, because he says you have to wait 40 minutes, so I'm starving. So it slipped out. And while I said it, like when I finished the word, starving, I already knew that, oh no. And my father gave me that look, and he says, you're starving, go to your room, there's no supper tonight for you. So I was in my room, and my mother, the mother always has to come to try to be mechazik, afterwards to be mechazik after the father, after the midas hadin. So my mother was coming to the room, So a mother has rachmanis on a child, especially a child doesn't eat supper. So my mother came and she told me that tomorrow I'm going to give you extra snacks. Don't worry, it'll be good tomorrow. I'll make it good for you. But daddy's upset But my mother did talk to me, and she said that you have to understand that in daddy's way of looking at things, really fasting is not a bad thing at all. It's a very good thing. And then my mother told me then an interesting thing. I remember this so clearly. My mother speaks very little about the past. My father speaks a lot about it. My mother hardly talks about it. Everybody has to survive in their own way, So my mother doesn't talk about it. Very little. So my mother said that your grandmother, her mother who was killed, that your grandmother fasted every single Monday and Thursday of her life. Except on Rosh Yontif, of course. But every Monday and Thursday, since she was Bas Mitzvah, my grandmother fasted every Monday and Thursday and finished the entire Tehillim. Every Monday and Thursday. That's an Indian of a Tanis that used to be in the generation before our generation. That was a certain way. And what was that? So my mother said, and she used to cry and daven for the children. So that was like a day. That was every week. Her Monday and Thursday was. So now every once in a while they make an Erev Chodesh and the whole thing, and they put it in the newspapers and they make a big gathering in the city for something, a tefillah. There were Jews that lived kaseida with tanesim, with fasting kaseida. And it wasn't a joke. It was a very serious thing. They lived kesedim in such a way with fasting, tanesim, and siguf. But it's just hard for our generation. Even though what are we talking about altogether? It's not a long time. It's one generation. But it's hard for us to be masik. Like how does that bring you closer to Hashem's book? There's such an avoid. We see from the kadmonim, from the chassidim Ashkenazim. You know, how many tanaisim for each of the areas that Tanya talks about in the Geirus HaTshuva a little bit, why we no longer do this. But if you look at the Geirus HaTshuva in the back of Tanya, there's a section called the Geirus HaTshuva.
And we learned Rabbi the Rokeach, I think, also, right?
Rabbi spoke about it when we were talking about, about fasting for the purpose of, what?
Rabbi's great uncle, when his niece's son fell down and had a concussion, he asked her to tell him when he comes out of the concussion. A day and a half later, he hadn't slept and set foot on him.
Yeah, these were different. This was a different bria, but they you see that there were tanaisim for every avera, and the amounts of tanaisim that if you look in the Rokeach and look in the tikkunim that we have from the shavuot and other in the earlier diaries, you see that the tikkunim, 483 fasts for this, 125 for that, and then you're looking like in each of those avers you've been guilty of, And so it comes out like you can maybe eat twice in your life. You have to plan it out, but you have two big days of eating. So it's not a derech. The Tanya talks about Negev Shetshuva. It's not a way to. We can't. It's a general path. It's not a general. It's not a way to serve Hashem anymore.
Pidyon Aben.
Huh?
You have Pidyon Aben.
Right. That's right. That's a tikkun. So let's read. V'im gam bezois. Okay. So the commentary is actually on page Chav Dal. V'hine im gam la'achrei ha'izboninus hazos. Even after this introspection, this meditation that we've been learning about the whole time now, even after all of this, eino margish klum belibo. You don't feel anything in your heart. U'bemeila eini yochel levakish rachem mishamayim. You don't even have. If you don't feel anything, you don't feel that anything's missing because of those averus and the distance from Hashem. So you don't even feel like crying out for Rachmei Shemayim. The last thing we were talking about was davening to Hashem. Rachamecha Rabim, Rachim Aleinu, help me feel something, help me get close to you, help me at least be sensitive to what I've done that's hurt me, that's wrong, that's driving you further into Golus. This person can't even do that. At least the bakasha wanting, calling out, has to be true. Has to be real, has to be sincere. And you can't even do that. You don't even feel like that. You can't sincerely say, Rachmeinu. You can't even sincerely scream out for this. Rachmecha Rabim, Rachem Aleinu. This person is in such a low place, he doesn't feel any bitterness at all in his heart over the fact that he doesn't feel the Rachmanis, the unbelievable Rachmanis, that Hashem's Baruch has been driven from his heart, that Hashem's Baruch is so far from him, that he has no interest in meeting the king in the field or in the forest or in the mountains or anywhere. He doesn't miss the king at all. Alzamam Sheikh Bekosif. Hashem knows that there are such Jews. And Hashem loves these Jews also. Hashem cares about these Jews also. So after those words of Anila Daidi Vidaidi Li, which is the Avayd of Elul, which all that we've been talking about is contained in those words, Anila Daidi Vidaidi Li. So the pasuk ends when Hashem's Baruch says, Haroa B'Shoshan. Hashem worries about even those Jews who b'chalal can't bring themselves to anila dodi v'dodi li, this entire maimon, all that we've been learning, doesn't open their heart. So, haroa b'shoshan, Hashem Yisborach takes out to graze the pasture among the roses. U'mefarish b'zoy ma'ash Hashan es habach m'gavin sumik l'gavin chaver, aydei asha, that the rose changes from red to white through the fire, through the heat of the sun. So it says that even though your sins are like dark red, they can change in a moment to be white. to be like snow. So the chait and aveira is called red, and all of the actions, words, and thoughts that are not for Hashem, but that are of this world and that are separated from God, are called red. They're from the world of Esav. And all of these things and this entire life can change to white. But you need to have the Esh, the fire. The inyan, ha-haficha mitzeva adom letzeva lavan, this change from red to white, in yon ha-fichas achatoyim v'hamaisim asher lo la-shem heima letoyv. It means the transformation of all of one's sins and actions that are not, even if it's not a sin, but the things that are not devoted to Hashem, that they can be changed latoiv, in a good way. Ke'inyin shenema, im yuchatoeichem kashonim kashelig yalbinu. That even if your sins are dark red, they can become white like snow. In our class in high school, we had a boy that was a gingy, that was a redhead. And the Rebbe heard, our Rebbe heard that the guys were calling him Red, and his last name. Let's say his name was Schwartz, Red Schwartz. They were calling him by his last name, Red. And the Rebbe said, what kind of name is that? That's by Esav. Esav is called Red. You don't call a Jew Red. Red Holtzman, right? Like he was Jewish. But you don't call a person Red. Red is a mitzvah from Esav. Red is Adam. Right? It means a virus. It means im yuchatayichem kashonim kashelig yalbinu. And changing this, you had a good memory there, Sishim.
Well, no, because I was just thinking that they have hanging in Madison Square Garden for Red Holtzman's number 613, because he had Tayyad Wins. So when the Rebbe said he's Jewish, I was thinking it was by chance that he died with 600 after winning 613 games.
Look at that! So he changed the red into mitzvahs, into Tayyad mitzvahs. So there's a t-shirt a bit like there's a thing hanging in the garden like a banner.
Yes, it's 613 for Red Holtzman.
Wow. Okay. There's a street over here named
Quarter of Cedar.
Yeah, I passed the street. I noticed it just the other day.
Right,
he lived over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it. It said Red Holtzman. I said, what's Red Holtzman doing over here? I remember Red Holtzman.
The guy in Taddy's has a lot of mice from Red Holtzman, and all the guys who used to come in with him and stuff.
He used to bring ball players with him?
Yeah.
I know he looked up to them.
Okay.
He was a little guy, Red Holtzman. Yeah. This transformation, our ability to change the redness of that life of imyuchatayichem kashonim that takes place through fire, which purifies. Kamalibun asadam. The same way when something is not kosher, it has to be put through a fire, right? When something is not kosher. The general principle in halach is kibolo kach polta, which means the way that it was absorbed, that's how it has to be removed. So for instance, when you use a pot, the pot is used with boiling water, so to kasher the pot, it has to be kasher with boiling water. And the oven, an oven is used with fire, so it has to be kashered with fire. And so it is, the general klal in halacha is the way that something became infected, that's how it has to be purified. That the highest level of kashering is called libun chamur, extreme whitening. Isn't it an interesting lotion? It's a very interesting way of describing the process of kashering. The fire is used to the point where it becomes white hot, white, which is called libun, which we understand means purifying.
The essence of a thing is gone, then. It's just the fire that remains.
Right. That's the libun. The fire that kashes, that removes all that was, that somehow was able to seep in over the years. That's the dam, the redness, the chel of the dam of aveiros. All of that is one is able to remove through the process of libun, of Libun. It's not pronounced that way, but I'm not going to talk about it. Okay. So
first it becomes red hot, then it becomes red.
First becomes red hot. That's the person is, yeah, at the beginning of tshuva, like we're learning us, tshuva is very, very hard. It becomes, the other side becomes very strong, and a person is trying to do tshuva, it becomes red hot at the beginning. It when a person has to part with the aveiros, it becomes very, very hard. Until finally it's able to, you're able to kasher, to do a good kashering, and it comes out pure and clean and beautiful. That's the Libun, the final stage of Libun. And this is what? This is the Eish Shalamala, the Rebbe says. There's a fire from above, and there's an Eish Shalamat and a fire from below. Eish Shalamala, not everybody's Zaycha. A fire from above, not everybody is worthy to receive. But the fire from below, everybody could do that. What does that mean? So Sigur from Tani is the lower fire means burning out all the fats and the blood, all the stuff that doesn't belong. How do we burn it out from the system? Again, this is only an emergency method. This is not a lechatchil of how we should live. But to burn it out is davke with Sigufim, depriving oneself, different types of Sigufim that we know from the Rishonim. One of the popular forms of Sigufim in the old days was going to a place in the forest in the winter and immersing oneself in snow, rolling Gilgul Shelig, rolling in the snow naked, toveling in ice and freezing cold in ice water. It's now of Chas HaShalom that the temperature is 5 degrees less in the mikveh than the ready to Olam is, everybody's coming to David, what's the matter, what happened, you know? It's got the mikveh, it was 5 degrees off. We don't know what that means, Chlal. And everybody says, I was in the Arizal's mikveh is already warm. That's not, everybody thinks it's the coldest mikveh in the world is the Arizal. It's not true. That's already not. And it's an Eretz Yisrael Dikei Mikveh. Even though Tzfas can get cold and it's coming from down in a deep place, the Arizal's Mikveh, it can get a lot colder than the Arizal's Mikveh. Yes, Jewish women who are toveling in Siberia, Jews who are toveling in Russia, in rivers and lakes, and they go to the Arizal, it's like being in a sauna for them by the Arizal's Mikveh. Everybody has to make a chanis for 6 months to go to the Arizal, and they're standing around there crying to go into the Arizal's Mikveh, like it's a big deal to get cold. So whole avoid is screaming and crying, and it's unbelievable. These are sigufim. But there's really cold mikvahs. Really cold mikvahs. There's a mikveh, there's cold mikvahs, there's hot mikvahs. But there's a, that was a form of sigufim. So what does this mean, the fire from above and the fire from below? Not everybody is zeichet to the fire from above, but everybody can work on the fire from below. Inyan ha'avoda de eish, what it all means is, eish means yisurim ha'mamrakim es nefesh adam. It means the fire that cleanses and purifies a soul. It's kashering. Achinei Omer Chazal, Shiesh Eish Shalamala Ve'esh Shalamata. On that pasuk in Shir Shirim, Samchuni Ba'ashishes, where it speaks about a double fire in Shir Shirim. So Chazal say there's a fire above and there's a fire below. What does that mean? The Yesh Yisurin Haboy Milamala Lazaki Chasadam. There is a certain type of suffering and pain that comes to a person from above. But here, you see what the Rebbe says about that. Not everybody is zoicha for that. Some people have, the Rebbe is saying, some people have the misfortune of going through a life being totally insensitive to spirituality, and they're not even given any suffering from above to soften them and to transform them. They just go through life enjoying their lives and being very comfortable, being totally far from Hashem, and not having any kashering take place from above. So not everybody is zoicha to be kashered by Hashem. Kmo shenema, kes asher yahev Hashem yechiach. It says in Pasuk, if God loves you, yechiach will rebuke you. If a person is zoicha, that's what means to be makabel the yisur and be ahava, to accept difficulties that come from above, to accept those difficulties with love. And to know that when those things happen, when misfortune, God forbid, we don't want any Jew to suffer. But God forbid, when a person suffers, that's an Eish Shalamala. Only if he thinks about it and it changes him, is that something which, in retrospect, was part of the process of him Yuchateichem Kashanim Kashelig Yalbinu. Hashem loves you because he's whitening you by shaking you back into an awareness, a sensitivity, by driving you deeper into yourself to a place that's real, and that this person that's playing this game and not feeling any shaychus to ruchnis, to dvar ruchni, to anything spiritual, because he's so red with the fat with the fat of Esav, that he can't even feel the slightest tremor of ruchnius. So Hashem Yisbarach has a way, if he loves you in such a way, if a person is zeiche, then there'll be a serum that fall upon a person from above, that Hashem Yisbarach breaks the encasement that you're stuck in, and he shakes you up in different ways. Like Rabbi Nachman says, and I've mentioned many times here in Shul, that first Hashem, that he doesn't begin right away with a clap. First he whispers. And then he starts talking louder, and he starts to scream. And if you still don't hear, Rabbi Nachman says, then he'll kick you in the stomach until you hear. And there are people who get kicked and beaten, and they still don't hear. But that's a fire from above. Es asher yahev Hashem yochiach. Valkein tzarech adam lezakech es atzmo. This person who does not have the fire from above, who is not zoiche from that fire from above. That's what the Tanya said. It's not just the commentary. The Tanya himself said the words, Lo kol adam zoiche lezeh. It's a scary thing. If you think about it, that's all that we're trying to run away from. And the Tanya says, Lo kol adam zoiche lezeh. Not everybody is zoiche. Valkein, therefore, if a fire is not coming from above, the person sees that Baruch Hashem, things are moving along smoothly, so then he has to light a fire down below. Fasting, other types of, another means of weakening the grip of physical life over yourself, that's preventing you from coming into contact at all with your heart, with your soul. You don't feel bechlal a need to be mevakish. You don't even have any. There's no emotional thing that's motivating, that's driving you towards Hashem. Intellectually, you know that you've done a lot of things that are wrong, and intellectually, you would love to be a Jew that's on fire and that's seeking God, and the davenism that's real. Intellectually, you know that, but you just don't feel it. So the Tanya says that sometimes a person has to, if he doesn't have an Eish that comes from above, to shake him into that place. You have a person, God forbid, goes through difficulties, and the difficulties make him into a big person. Make him into a big person, you hear? What Moshe was saying before about his father, that in Europe they were from the wealthiest Jews in Poland. But then the things fell apart. My father had a cousin whom my Chanarivka is named after. We used to call her Chanku. She was a big tzaddikus. She lived in such poverty in Yerushalayim, it's hard to describe, in Old Sanhedria, what kind of poverty she lived in, my cousin. And my father told me, I remember when we went there the first time when I was 10 years old, and we went to visit. I had heard so much about my cousin Chanku, they can never afford to come here, and we went there to Israel. So we went to my cousin Chanku, And we, and you know, I was starting to get scared when I saw the kind of place like we were going into, you know, the alleyway. You know, having like a nice kid from Queens. So I enjoyed, you know, we were staying in the Sheraton and the, you know, we had a, it was very good. And then we went, you know, to see Cousin Haiku, and we were going into this like slum. And we were there, we spent time and everything, and my father told me that they were from the wealthiest families in Hungary. This cousin of mine. My father said, owned a chain of grocery stores and different things and real estate, was the wealthiest Jews. And as she was living in such poverty that it's hard to describe. And she's not in the world anymore. I used to go there for Shabbos. Oh, it was when I was in yeshiva. So the sweetest Shabboses that I could remember. What Shabbos was. There wasn't even what to eat. But it was the best Shabbos. I walked away from those Shabboses completely full. And now we have smorgasbords with 20 dishes, and we walk away from Shabbos empty. And I remember being by my cousin Chaimku, and her husband, Sirlik. Oy, what a tzaddik! He was the gabbai of the shul over there. I remember I went for Shabbos. I was a little bit afraid to go there because, you know, I didn't know what it was going to be. You know, it wasn't an easy life. I mean, my father always sent money, but they had so many chayvis. I don't know. Nobody ever paid them. They owned a little makolet, and nobody ever paid them. They had tzedlach. They were so brown. They had these little kohinor, you know, little loose leaves or something. They had names. They never asked anybody for the money. They had names like from 1949. You know, that this guy owed this and that. And nobody ever paid. They're so poor. So I remember I went there. So my father kept on saying to me, "Go to Chaimku for Shabbos. He wants to go for Shabbos." Oh, so Chaimku. Can I take a friend? My father said, "No. Don't take any friend. There's nothing to eat. You know, just go." And my father told me, and don't eat any chicken. Just eat challah. My father told me when I was gone, just don't eat anything there. They don't have. So I went Friday night. Oh, it was such a Shabbos. They're such amazing. They're not here anymore. What tzaddikim? But I'll tell you one thing. So Friday night I go to sleep. We were talking late into the night because they were telling me stories about. She was talking about my grandparents and my grandparents and all these stories I didn't even hear. She was older than my father, so she remembered things, and I was so fascinated by the stories. Late at night, she spoke her Hebrew was very very weak. Even though she was living there so all the years, she always said Zoch in the cave and the cave of Zoch. Everything was the opposite. Mamish the opposite. Zoch in the cave. Everything. And it sounded more like Hungarian than Hebrew when she spoke the way she spoke. But it was all night, and then I went to sleep, and then 5 o'clock in the morning, Shabbos, he woke me up. He says, No, Moshe, no. I said, it was dark. He said, "What?" We went to sleep like at 2:00. He says, "What? Mikveh. And I said, "Mikveh?" And he pulled the blanket, it was cold. He pulled the blanket off me, and he says, "What, American, what's the matter with you? What's a baby? Get out of bed." And the floor was cold, and he had a neglevas he put in my face, like the neglevas, you know, and I didn't know what to do. I just wanted to leave me alone. I'll go daven someplace, 10 o'clock. And he grabs my hands. I'm just like with a freezing cold neglevas. There's no towel. Get up, a baby American. What's wrong with you? I said, 5 o'clock. So when's davening? What are we? He says, davening is at 6 o'clock. So I said, isn't there a later minion? He says, that's our minion, 6 o'clock. So I'll meet you at shul. He says, "No, but first there's mikveh, and then we have tehillim. Mikveh is till 5:10, whatever, and then tehillim before davening." So, to me, that was worse than the poverty, right? In those days, what that meant. What big Jews came out from those little broken homes, unbelievable people. That they lived. Not that we want anybody to have to. Jews should have a good, should have nice carpet and warm water and a hot mikveh, all those good things. But there's a price that's paid for all of that. Like we were talking a little bit this morning, there's a price that we pay. So when what happens is that the heart becomes very very insensitive to spirituality. Again, it must be emphasized that this is only a last resort. This is not the derech habashem lechatchila. to deprive oneself and to bring upon oneself suffering or difficulties. But the Rebbe says there's such a thing that a person mamash doesn't feel it, doesn't get it. And like it says in the Zohar Kodesh, that sometimes you have to break, you have sticks that they're just so hard, they don't bend, you have to break them. You break, that's the only way that you can set them on fire. Sometimes when you put them to the fire, you know, those of you who are like into nature, and were the ones that were like always handling, you know, on the trips, there are always boys that like to play with the fire a lot. It's an interesting thing. So, I was always the one that was scared about the little red things falling on me. But for those that like to handle with the logs, so you know that, so that the Zohar says there's a thing that you put a log into the thing and it doesn't catch on fire. So sometimes we have to do, he says, the Zohar says, the Tanya brings it down. You take an axe and you smash it into little pieces, the log, and then you see it'll be good, it'll catch on fire. So he said that that's, you'd also sometimes, you're not catching on fire, nothing's working, because you're so fat. You're so insensitive to anything spiritual because you're so immersed in the Odoim of Edoim that you can't bechlal, nothing catches fire. It could be a Zmiris, it could be a Kabbalah Shabbos, it could be a Ne'ilah, it could be a Chesos, whatever it is, nothing, Gornish, nothing. So what happens? So Tanya says you have to smash into pieces. Sometimes it comes from above, if you're Zoycha, the Tanya says. If you're not Zoycha, so you see, you have to break the pieces, the log into small pieces, and that's Ayde Tanias v'sigufim. Hamematim chelev v'dam haguf, that decrease the fat and the blood of the body, of physical life. Shechiyusim himiklipa, that the life force and the energy of physical things of the body. The fat in the blood comes from that which is called the klipas noga, the noga shell. It's not important to talk about that now, what that means exactly. Vaz yizkel ha'aris ponim dilamala, and then the person will be zeicher for Hashem's shining face to illuminate and turn towards him from above. Let's read the kitzer. Let's just read the review of this chelik of the maimer. Gam isha chote. Even a Jew who sins, Yisrael, who is a Yid, is a Yisrael, which means Sheish Bon Nitzayt Eloki Amayshu Bekirbo. He still has the Aleph Lamed that rules over the essence of who he is. That's why, even though it's a thick log, if you smash it up enough, you'll get to it. You'll eventually get to it. It's there. It's there. Yesh Bon Nitzayt Eloki Amayshu Bekirbo Alishu Begolus. Now that spark of Hashem is in Golus. The Aleph Lamed is in Golus. The infinite Hashem is in Golus inside of you. And in one moment you can go back to that. If the Jew doesn't scream and cry and feel the Rachmanis for that spark of Hashem that's lost in him, it's an indication that you've been cut off. It's there, but you're just not attached. It's dangling. There's separation between you and the root of who you are. There's a separation. Like a limb that's cut off from the body. Where the mind no longer feels any pain. You could take that nail or that limb that was cut off and you step on it, you throw it against the wall, and the mind doesn't feel that at all because it's not attached anymore. What's the Eitzah? So the first thing is think about this itself. What happened to you? How you're not feeling any of this? He said, be mizbain in this. Shenichus mishor shalagarmet, that you're so cut off from who you are, from Hashem. And that should bring you, like Yagila Kasha, Yitzel of Vakesh, that you're going to be mevakesh, that you're going to scream out and seek what? La'oira rachime shamayim, that the Rebbeinu Shalom Yoshev al Hashem v'yirachameyu. The rachmanis on what? On Hashem inside of you. Rachim gedoilim yoyser. Even though you really, to begin with, you don't feel the Rachmanis, but you could cry out for this, and Hashem will see that you're mevakesh and help to awaken that within you. And if even this doesn't work, then he has to purify himself to begin with the fire of deprivation and of suffering. They see good from the Taniyos through self-deprivation and fasting. In the note in 36, he does bring how that the Rebbe Yolel Shalom would quote the Igeres HaTshuva, that our generation is even weaker than the generation of the Baal Tanya. The Tanya spoke already about how weak we are. In the Igeres HaTshuva, the Tanya talks about this at length, that nowadays it's very hard, we're very weak, and fasting usually does not have that effect. Fasting is just a person, you know, stands outside the bakery looking all day and waiting for the reunion. So that's not going to work. Like, you know, Yom Kippur, with the fasting for many people, the fasting is a... That's not going to necessarily work. So nowadays, what the Tanya talks about a lot over there in the Geres HaTshuva is that tzedakah. In our times, tzedakah is the most effective replacement substitute for Taniyos. And he speaks there about specific, he brings that from the Kadmonim about different amounts of tzedakah that are given for different averus. Again, all, of course, in proportion to what that person has. But nowadays, that koyach of a Jew to reach into his wallet, to reach into his pocket, and to be able to break that physical thing that's telling him that if you give away this money, if you give away more money, that it's going to diminish your physical pleasures in this world. You're going to have less. You're not going to be able to have the things that you want. So nowadays, tzedakah is like fasting. Tzedakah is like fasting.
But for a lot of people, I would imagine that giving tzedakah is almost
pleasure.
Either pleasure or effortless. It doesn't require a lot of mesiras nefesh necessarily, and it may not always have the desired effect. Like someone could think, I'll write a check, I'll kasher, you know, the other. So
yeah, that's why a person has to be very careful not to delude oneself. And that's true for the certain people. The writing the check is almost effortless. That's why there's a chsadim shabaguf. That's why for different. I had a discussion with somebody recently called, and he was having some inyanim in the family. So there were things with health. So he wanted to know. So I spoke about tzedakah. But we were talking about, he's a very generous person, gives a lot to tzedakah, and then I spoke about chesed shabaguf, you know, to try maybe. To go, if possible, to become involved in something like Tomchei Shabbos or other things, where you go with the kids and or with your wife and physically, Yad Eliezer here, we have Tzedekis here, Debbie Fogel, that she runs the Yad Eliezer Bake thing with the Noshim Tzedkonius, to do something physically, to become involved, helping if there's a person in the neighborhood that needs help, or to do something that's much, much harder than writing a check. So that one has to try to seek ways that to do chasadim, that besides writing the check, which for many people is not only an effort, it's a pleasure, but chasadim shebeguf, you know, chasadim shebeguf, giving one's time. There's a friend of mine that goes in Philadelphia. She tries to go one night a week to help kids in the pool hall over there, you know, to spend time with kids, you know, not learning with them, because, you know, shooting pool and schmoozing with them, like, you know, whatever, being a friend. I mean, like, you know, big brother. There are things that chasadim shebeguf, that a person does that he has to. There has to be mesiras nefesh. It's something that comes with mesiras nefesh. Whatever, you know, if it comes easy, then it's not yisurim. If it's easy, it's not yisurim. But tzedakah for many people, tzedakah is certainly a tremendous yisurim for a person to part with that, and he feels he needs it, and it's a yisurim.
It's not talking about tzedakah. We give a check and we're maybe getting up the mysim. I had a friend. They went to Montreal to the Tosh Rebbe, told to write a check. Six. They said, Rebbe, they won't make it through the bank. Right. Tsar, and he's worrying. And there was an issue. I know that Lubavitch Rebbe had a friend that was doing business with somebody. Every month he made him write a check, and he had game head checks. He was nowhere near that amount of money covering it, or making that kind of money.
Yeah.
But it hurts, and there are people that give. Meiser is not the number. The number is several times Meiser. But people do give, and then it hurts.
Right. So we were talking about that in halacha, you know, within the rule of Hamavazviz, Al Yavazviz, Yasim Mechamish, but we saw that the tzaddikim say that for the purpose of tshuva there is such an inyan, that a person goes beyond, that a person, you know, breaks the piggy bank open and empties it out. There is such an inyan, but there are other people that for them that's not the ikar of vayda. In other areas, the klal is mesiris nefesh. The klal is yisurim. Yisurim. Different people have different people. Like there's the tainus of the ravid that a person leaves over from the plate in his meal, right? But davka, your favorite food, and you haven't eaten all day, and the food is maybe maybe something can't get in, maybe someone's trying to get in, and doesn't know Hebrew, so that's also the type of, there are different taniyas the person has to, oh, it's already late, I didn't even see that, but there are different ways of that. Each person in his own world knows what the need of Mesiris Nefesh is. And so next week, we're going to finish the Maamar Mirat Hashem, and we're going to finish with the issue of how to closing all of this together, pulling it all together with learning Torah. Pulling everything together and holding on and making strong Kalim with Limud Torah. Shoshana, Shoshana Halachas B'chol Yom, Shoshana, who reviews Torah and learns Halacha each and every day. Yeah,